There Is Beauty in the Wicked by Mellechoir. I've been told, from billboards to church signs, flowers growing from corpses, brought to death by the never-ending violence against true beauty, from a lover holding a rose in their right hand and not holding the hand of their spouse, to doves sprinkling across the sky in front of a backdrop of jets piercing it. Sure, there is beauty in the wicked, but I can't help but ask if it's nothing more than a facade, a white lie soaked in the worst of the world. Is there true beauty in death, pestilence, war, and so much more? There Is Beauty in the Wicked, a response by Maverick Malone. There is beauty in death. There is beauty in war. There is beauty in the wicked. I think the beauty is that nothing lasts forever, that growth is inevitable, that this wicked is the very thing that catalyzes change. Even as a lily grows over the grave of someone who perished at the hands of hate, the beauty is that life returns, that those stories are told and preserved, that new beliefs are born, that tides change, that a mind can do the same, that one day the wicked will no longer be. You're listening to Inkspeak, where storytelling and poetry meet the wonder and magic of living. I'm your captain, author, poet, and unearther of life, Maverick Malone. As I was sifting through my documents of where I keep my podcast ideas and notes and things, I stumbled across something I wrote a few years ago, somewhere around, I don't know, I think maybe 2022. And I wrote, maybe one day, who knows, maybe one day I'll have my own way of publishing and amplifying these smaller voices, the ones that really need to be seen and heard. And that's one thing I'm trying to do here. Be a voice and lend a voice. What's magical about that, about what I wrote so many years ago that I didn't know it at the time, but I planted seeds back then. And this is just something I do. I've seen this time and time again, that something I write years and years before the thing actually happens, they just happen eventually in some way, shape, or form. They always happen. They come to fruition. Maybe not always in the way that I think they might, but they always happen. They always come to be. And I planted those seeds back then for what is now a small independent publishing press, or about to be. We haven't officially launched yet, but it's definitely officially official. And it's called Tempest Press, co-created with my friend, fellow poet, and business partner, Chelsea Chats, whom I have a podcast episode with if you're interested in hearing more about her story and her poetry. It's episode 34, Verses from the Veil. So today is about many things: sharing new voices, dropping knowledge, but most importantly, at the top of today's list, is remembering how beautiful life is despite its wickedness. And this totally kind of tracks that this is the episode I wanted to record today, because I just finished watching the Libra episode of Gala Darling's YouTube show Spiritual Bimbo with Colin Bedell, where each episode is a sarcastic and humorous romp through each zodiac sign. So if you haven't seen it, I would go check it out. And I'm a Libra rising, so I had to watch. And Libra is all about love and beauty, yes. But I think the elevated side of Libra is all about the beauty we cannot see, but we can sense it. And all about creating this unseen world of beauty and bringing that to the external. And I think also, especially for me, I feel this so much, it's about justice, fairness, balance. How to take the ugliness of this world, by which I mean the hate, the greed, the injustice, everything that is just so wrong, these horrible beliefs that are not serving us as a collective, and turn all of that into things like love and hope and beauty, not just the external beauty, right? Like, that's what I'm trying to cultivate here, is this beautiful inner world. And by doing that, we bring that to the external without having to do anything. It just happens, just like something that I write years ago. Eventually, it comes out in the wash. You know, it comes out in the external world. So when I read Mellechoir's poem on Instagram, and this is actually a pretty old poem because I've been hanging on to this pieces of this episode for a while, But the one I opened with here, something stirred in me, and all of this is the result. Because I want to share the work of others on here, not just my own, especially people you don't know or haven't ever heard of. And that was the whole idea behind Tempest Press, this small independent publishing business company that we're starting. It was conceived from the intention of amplifying the voices that get buried, lost, or completely shut down. I'm going to have another episode more about Tempest Press and probably have Chelsea on here to just talk about all of that. But in short, it's a women-owned and operated small press amplifying marginalized voices, so especially women, BIPOC, and the LGBTQ plus community. And we also started it because both my experience and Chelsea's are those of not finding the right publisher for our work, things just not working out, and that's a story we'll probably tell in the future. And we all know how anything that gets created begins. Necessity is the mother of all invention, and if what you need doesn't exist, you make it. And think about it. For just a moment, think about your favorite poet, your GOAT, the poems and poets you reach for time and time again. And yes, we all love Mary Oliver. Big Mary Oliver fan here. And God knows I'll probably be breaking down one of those poems at some point. But we already know the Mary Olivers and the Rupi Kaurs and the Ada Limones of the world. We've heard it. We love their work. Well, I'm not a big Rupi Kaur fan, but to each their own. But their work is already widely publicized and available in spades. But there's so much other great work out there by people you've never heard of. Like the person who wrote the opening poem, There is Beauty in the Wicked. Or even myself. Most of you've probably never heard of me or my work. But just because you haven't heard of us before, or especially because if we aren't big on social media, but it's those of us who have really small social media followings that get buried in the algorithm or just don't have a big online presence, I guess. But just because you haven't heard of us before, and especially if we aren't big on social media. Right now, I have under 2,000 followers who rarely, if ever, engage with me, save for a few dedicated fellow believers. But that doesn't make our words, our message, our voice any less valuable. And if you're a creative in some capacity, this same sentiment is 1,000% true of you. God, I hope you please, please keep making your art, despite how you may define success. And even if you're not an artist, just keep doing the brave thing of being who you are and showing up. Because in a world that teaches people to hate others, to hate themselves, especially for our differences, the very act of you owning your authenticity and leaning wholly into who you are is rebellious and courageous as hell, and it's slowly creating change. Like with the unknown artist, the same goes for publishing. There are so many authors that get rejected time and time again because of this gatekeeping, for whatever reason, of someone at the top who gets to decide what will sell or what is, quote, worthy of mass production, of using their platform and their connections to amplify that. And a lot of it is based and published on something called being, quote, saleable, how much potential it has to sell. In today's world, a lot of that translates to having a big social media following, or at the very least, whether your audience, no matter its size, is engaged in your work or not. If you have an email list, if you have this or that or some other long checklist of things publishers and agents comb through to determine if your work, your words, are worth their time, effort, and investment. And I get it, some of it is just all business, blah, blah, which is something that is so empowering about the self-publishing world. It puts that power back in your hands. But even more than that, I want to remind you that no matter your number of rejections or whether you want to even go about publishing at all, don't lose sight of your own value and worth. You are the only one who matters in that equation. You're the only one who determines your worth and value. And there are numerous other factors publishers use when deciding to publish an unknown author. But I just struggle with this idea that someone else gets to judge what our work is worth and holds the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, to making someone else's dreams come true. And a lot of these people at the top are only about the bottom line. I'm not saying everybody is, but I think too many people at the top, regardless of industry, this isn't just publishing here. We're talking like literally everything here. A lot of the people at the top are only about the bottom line. What will make us the most money? Who are they to decide what will? And why is that the most important metric? It should be about which voices need that amplified platform most. It should be about helping the most amount of people, not making the most money. It should be about building the inclusive ship that will launch 1,000 new voices and stories into the collective, because we are drowning in a sea of sameness right now. The amount of times I've rolled my eyes at the previews before movies lately. I actually just went to go see Snow White today with my daughter. And one of the previews that they played beforehand was for the live action version of Lilo and Stitch. And the whole time I was watching that, I was just like doing that. I was like, oh my God, another movie where we're taking a movie that already exists and we're making another movie about the same exact thing, which is the movie that I was ironically going to see, you know, the live action of Snow White. But I'm just tired of seeing the same story over and over and over. Some retelling, some live action version of something we've already seen, some fourth or fifth or sixth movie in a series that just keeps going and going and going. And on the bookshelves, especially in the large big five publishing world, most definitely in the poetry section of Target, for some reason, it's largely the same. It's the same kind of poetry book with similarly sounding poems from poets who already have thousands and thousands of followers online. They don't need any more exposure. And I feel that too in Hollywood with the movies that are coming out. I'm like, where are all of the original stories? There are millions and millions of books out there that we could be turning into movies. Where's the original story is really what I'm asking for here. I want to see more original stories. I want to hear more original content. There's an entire world out there, like I said, that's of these stories that are ready to be heard and told, and they deserve to have a whole team of people rally behind them to bring those into the collective at large, because we need those. Because they bring new perspectives, new beliefs, new ideas. It's the idea of novelty here. Being exposed to something new that will make us think. And that isn't to discount what's already out there. All art is important. And like I said, I was going to see the live action version of Snow White, which was really good, by the way. But what I am saying is that we need far more variety than what we have right now. It only takes that one connected pair of eyes on your work, that one person to find it, to read it and have it resonate, for them to go, okay, yeah, this will make money. This will sell. This is worth my time. While the rest of us wither at the bottom of the slush pile or disappear into the algorithm, so we strive for those eyes. But to reach them, a lot of it is this massive bullshit game, which I have just stopped playing. I haven't been on Instagram in, I think, several months now. I mean, I'm still on there hopping on stories and posting every once in a while, but I stopped posting in my feed, unless it's to push a post from my Substack to share that or a podcast episode. I used to post almost religiously every single day, like a piece of new content. And it was almost never the same poem, because I was just churning out poem after poem after poem. Every day was something new for years. And then Instagram just got increasingly worse, especially if we're talking about the people who run it and what they were doing with policies. And it was no longer aligned for me. So I shifted. So I haven't been on there in a while. But I feel like so much of being found these days is based on that. You have to have a big social media following to, quote, prove your shit is popular, to prove that it's worth a publisher or someone investing in you, because that means dollar signs. And honestly, I still can't understand how some of that stuff is so popular, but potato gelato, Keely, that's for you. And it takes one person with connections, right, to find you, to see your spark the way you see it, and take a chance on you. And those are more of the people we need at the top. And by that, I mean anyone in the position of creating opportunity for another, taking chances on those of us at the bottom. I think that's what we're all striving for, not just as artists, but as humans, to apply for that job, to be awarded that opportunity, to want for more. And it's hard in a world with so much noise. We have to believe in ourselves the most, the hardest, before anyone else will. For every yes, there's 1,001 no's, and that's something we will always have to contend with. Rejection builds a thick skin, but it's an important lesson. It builds persistence and resilience. It's necessary. It has gotten me here to this point. It asks us, how committed are you to building this thing, to the message, to the dream, when no one else thinks you're worth it and can't see your vision or your value? Can you keep going when people tell you no? Can you keep going when people say they don't believe in you? Can you persist in a wicked world, even when it feels like no one is listening? Which brings me to the opening poem, There Is Beauty in the Wicked. It's a piece by an indigenous queer author and poet that goes by the moniker Melichoir, and someone I follow on Instagram, and I'll put his links in the show notes. His branding is the dark voice of poetry, and I was curious about that because of the connotation the phrase dark voice carries, which is kind of something we would typically think of as bad or evil or associate with things like that. And I knew that wasn't Melchior at all. So when I asked him about that, to clarify more about what that meant in terms of his work, he said his work explores themes of grief, loss, injustice, healing, and fulfillment. That it's about self-acceptance and especially accepting our own shadows with an element of healing from religious trauma, which is so relevant right now with so many deconstructing. And I saw that descriptor, this dark voice of modern poetry, also as a reclamation, because that's what shadow work is at its core. And while his account is small, that is exactly the point I'm trying to make here. Melchior doesn't have a large following, and yet I found their post and it sparked something in me. It inspired me to pen my own reply and then in turn write this whole episode and share his work. That's the power of one voice. That's the power of not only having a voice, but being willing to share it. Think of what more of these voices could do collectively if we all sound off from a place of love and acceptance and radical, beautiful new beliefs, building an army of voices to drown out the sound of the wicked that is entirely too prevalent in this world. That's tidal wave change, which is exactly why Chelsea and I named our press Tempest Press. We want to be the storm. We want to challenge the norm. We want to launch those voices to be the wind that creates radical change. Someone doesn't need tens of thousands of followers or even hundreds to be significant, to make an impact, to have a powerful voice. In fact, I often find the opposite on Instagram. Those of us with small social media followings are incredibly committed and wildly honest. We read and reply to every comment. We respond to every DM. We are the ones reading your posts and watching your stories because the communities we're trying to build are intimate, and we want things to be collaborative because we know what it feels like to be ignored, to feel like we are invisible, to feel like in the grand scheme of this celebrity and material-obsessed world, a world dominated by these other oftentimes seemingly louder voices, we can have moments of feeling like we don't matter. And oh, how wrong we are about that. You matter. We absolutely matter. I hate the algorithm and how it buries some incredible artists. Hell, it even buries my friends' posts. I really miss the old days of early social media. With Instagram, like the publishing world in general, it's just very hard to be seen. It's like a giant market, and we've all got our little individual booths peddling our truth and hoping we magnetize those who are meant for us, the right kinds of eyes and ears, the ones who need our message the most, and above all, the ones who will believe in us as much as we do. But people are scared of that, scared to take a chance, so they bet on the sure thing, the person who already has 100K followers, the person who already has a long list of likes and comments, the person who already has a long resume of things that they've done. And when we feel so passionate about that message, about our story, and no one stops by to listen, it can be very disheartening. I felt like that for years growing up. It's one of the many things that contributed to my depression and anxiety, my self-loathing, and low self-worth. The first thing that comes to mind here, especially if we're thinking about this with the market metaphor, is exactly that. So last fall, I was working a market alone, hustling to sell my poetry books, and I was doubting myself. Everyone else had a steady stream of customers, everyone but me, and I could hear my inner dialogue beginning to spin an unhelpful story of what that may mean, asking if anyone cared about what I had to give, if my dreams and goals and the inevitable forthcoming challenges and major daring steps to get there were worth it. My car battery had also died that morning, and instead of taking all of that as a negative sign, as things telling me to just give up and stop trying, a baby bird feather coming out of absolutely nowhere floated right past my nose and landed gently on the arm of my chair as a reminder that I'm not done growing. I'm still learning to fly. We all have these moments where we wonder if anyone cares. We wonder if we'll make a difference. We wonder why we are not enough the way we are. We wonder when we'll stop being part of the machine and get our own moment to be seen and heard. That's a big part of my why. To bring in those voices, the ones the algorithm buries or deems inadequate or doesn't believe in, and the ones not topping some bestseller list yet. It only takes that one person besides you to believe. The unique and the different, the hidden. because the big platform people already have their spaces. It's saturated over there on the shelves. But that doesn't mean you also don't deserve a space on it, front and center. Why not you? That's what that feather represented to me. And the years and years of personal growth and internal transformation that brings me here, that keeps me showing up. Not every week, because my energy is not that consistent, but it's showing up as much as possible on here to record episodes. And even if we take the podcast out of the picture, I'm always just writing and sharing and always thinking about this from a growth mindset, from that lens of what can I offer the world, because I have offered it to myself and I've learned these lessons. How can we offer that to someone else to help them through whatever they're going through? Again, this is the power of the voice, the power of vulnerability, and the power of sharing. I want new voices, people you haven't yet heard of, because that means new ideas. Like I said, new ideas means new perspective. New perspective means new beliefs. New beliefs means more love and radical change. Just as not everything I say will resonate, I might share another's voice or story on here that will. There may be someone else's powerful words that you need that speaks more to your experience. And likewise, as much as we struggle, there is absolutely, without a doubt, people out there that also need you. What a powerful thing that is to do, to simply share and remain open to the new. And this goes well beyond writers and artists. I know many of you listening right now aren't either of those things. You're retail or fast food workers, or teachers, or corporate world workers. You're caretakers and parents and students. You're therapists and entrepreneurs. You're carving out entirely new niches and careers. You're dreamers and thinkers and feelers. But even through all our differences, there's one obvious truth so many fail to see in this day and age. The one thing that unites us, and yet so many cannot see. We are all human. Imagine that. And what makes us different literally colors this world. It keeps things interesting. And there isn't a single other soul on this planet that can do what you can do in the exact way that you came to do it. And I've said this before. You are unique. You are unique in your perspective. You are unique in the way that you love, in the way that you show up. You are unique in your story. No one else has your story. You have value and you are worthy. There is no gatekeeper for this. No one person can determine what your art, your work, your creations, your voice, what you as a human being are worth. Not your family, not your friends, not your boss, not your publisher, or lack thereof. Not your pastor, not your preacher, not a single ugly troll on the internet. God, especially not a troll on the internet. That could be a whole episode. It always astounds me the things people say online to other people that they would never in a million years say to someone's face. It just puts their own inner ugliness on full blast. Anyway, I think so often we suppress our unique authenticity and move away from being who we are or who we could be because we're afraid of this judgment, of the wickedness that is rampant in the world right now. From people who don't even know who we are, and the paradox is they don't know who we are because we're too scared to show them. Maybe we were hurt in the past or told we shouldn't be this or that, do this or that, speak, feel, believe this or that, and definitely don't listen to anyone who dictates what you should or shouldn't believe. Think for yourself first and foremost, always. Even here, if something I say doesn't resonate, just don't take it. You have the freedom to keep what sticks, leave the rest. Maybe we feel we can't dress the way we really want because of this. And if any of that resonates, if you find clothing to be an extension of yourself and a way that you personally like to express yourself, go listen to episode 27, The Lion and the Witch Fight Over the Wardrobe, which is all about my experiences with this, with dressing how you want and how my personal clothing choices are a process of authentic self-discovery and self-expression and part of a much bigger metaphor of fighting patriarchy. Or we don't do the things maybe that we feel called to do because we're so controlled by this fear-based mindset, this fear narrative, and have a preoccupation with what other people will think of us, especially those close to us, our family, our friends. God, I won't even get started on the oppression within extremist religions. I think I'll need a guest for those episodes. There's that whole tribal aspect of it, of being rejected from the group. Our DNA is literally programmed to keep us safe. And our evolution dictates that being different equals being kicked out of the tribe or being ostracized, ultimately somehow ending in death way back when, is a mindset we're still learning to shed, but we're still operating from it on some level, which requires reprogramming the brain and, you guessed it, questioning and examining your existing beliefs. Unfortunately, there's a lot of hate, judgment, and negativity in this world still running on that programming. There's a lot of this ugly, this sick, this wicked, just like Melchior's poem describes. But there's a hell of a lot more magic and miracles in this world than its wickedness, more than we're led on to, more than we're led to believe. And I felt inspired and called to respond in kind when that question was posed at the end. I even realized something just now. I had a whole light bulb moment and connected the dots on this whole episode, how it's a testament to the beauty in the world, the magic of life. Just another example in my encyclopedia of examples of how we're always being guided by forces greater than ourselves. This episode wasn't one I consciously planned to write to put together, but then again, 90% of my stuff I write works this way. I don't choose the ideas or words for poetry, for prose, for the vast things I write about. The words choose and guide and ultimately create me. So why would I expect podcasting to work any differently? Somebody upstairs is picking the topics and funneling me information. It's only my job to pay attention, notice the signs, to listen, and to transcribe. I woke up one morning with a song in my head. Back when I wrote my response poem, this is kind of the time that I'm referencing, that morning, I woke up with a song in my head, which is nothing new for me also. I'm constantly waking up with lines of poetry, book chapters, messages from dreams or song lyrics in my head, like the powers that be at some point in the middle of the night installed a program or playlist that would begin reciting words teleprompter style straight into my brain the second upon waking. Which is why I said, I don't create the things I do. I just channel it. It doesn't come from me, but it comes through me. I took the door off its hinges a long time ago and left it wide open. So now whatever great and credible wants to waltz in just does, whenever it wants. So that morning, it was Macy Gray's Beauty in the World playing on a loop. Amazing song. Go listen to it if you haven't heard it, but I don't know anyone, I think, who probably has never heard that song. If you have never heard that song, I might be questioning if you've really been living under a rock. It's incredibly catchy, but also with just such a great message. It's a song all about noticing the little things and holding tight to the wonder of life, despite its challenges and cruelty. And I didn't know what it meant in the context of me, of what I was supposed to do with it, of why I had woken up with this song. But later on, as I was scrolling Instagram, I caught Melchior's poem front and center on my feed, and it sparked something in me, to which I then wrote my reply, posted that, and then felt called to share all of it on another platform. So I wrote out a lot of these notes and things, which spiraled then later on, years later, into this whole episode, centered around the beauty, the hope, the love in this world that can and will drive out the wicked. Piece is written from the perspective of someone who recognizes that while there is this innate wonder for life, also questions its authenticity, its meaning, its future. Someone who can easily become lost among the gray, in the haze, in the storm clouds. And Macy and I, and so many others, are the ones peeling back the corners and eagerly exposing the blue behind it. I am someone who always seeks to see the good in something, the beauty, the bright side, if you will. And throwback for all you Killers fans out there who are now recalling fond high school memories of driving around in your friend's beat-up Toyota Corolla with its Froggy 94 bumper sticker, windows down, blasting Mr. Brightside on another riveting Friday night to spend wandering the fiction section of Barnes & Noble. Or maybe that's just me. Point is, I don't do well with pessimism. Libra, right? I lived there for decades, stewing in my own self-hate from a world that made me that way because it was rife with it. And I'm not going back, which is honestly why I am now so fucking passionate. If there's an ember of optimism, of light, of love in you, I will find it, and I will fan that flame with my turbine engine of hope. I will most certainly do it in a spoken word poem, and then I'll write you your own as an ode to you. You are my people. If you are listening to this, you are my people. Those of you who want the best in this world, that want to transform it just as much as I do, that are angry with the way things have turned out, with how far from love and equality we have gotten, politics, government, society, belief itself. The beautiful is dwindling, and it's up to us to reclaim it and spread it. Let's make that go viral. Forget chasing paper or gaining followers. Forget going viral in that kind of way. What we should be focusing on is making this place beautiful again by making love and authenticity go viral, by making self-awareness and personal growth the things that we should be chasing and attaining and working towards from now until forever, by exhibiting the absolute magic each of us holds within, that the power was there all along. That's what I'm here to do, to find that spark, that light, that sliver of a beautiful new belief or idea, and expand it, to shift the focus, to remind you of your own incredible, awestruck, brilliant you-ness of you. The further along this journey I go, the more I realize just how much I want to change hearts and minds. Poetry is an incredible vehicle for that. Emotions are an incredible vehicle for that. Storytelling is an incredible vehicle for that. And I love that Tempest Press is becoming part of that. And when I think on where I might be in 5 or 10 years from now, I think the vehicle of my voice will have done just the same, grown exponentially. The inevitability of life is that's exactly what we're all here to do. Grow and change for the better, right? Through the pain, through the strife, through the struggle. And I'm not afraid to share any of my darkness, my struggles with you, because we need more of those stories. Those of people who have transcended it and went back for everyone else to show them how they can do that for themselves. That's real power. Finding your own and then empowering everyone else with what you've learned to make them believe that they have the power in the first place. Because our current world has been telling the lie since the beginning of time that we don't have that power, that we aren't worthy, that we aren't deserving, that we aren't lovable. That's why so many feel or have felt small, invisible, unwanted, unimportant, and unlovable. You're the only one who can transform that narrative, but I think people like me, those of us with stories circulating out there still yet to be discovered and amplified, are not only ready to help you do that, but we're so incredibly willing because we're out here sharing our experiences. It's yet another reason how vulnerability and honesty, telling the story of where we've been, is so necessary for this time that we now find ourselves in. So to bring it all the way back around, I'll start wrapping it up here with a solid quote from my girl Mary's well-known poem, Wild Geese, because what else? My fellow poets out there in their airwaves are all nodding their heads right now because you know the exact line I'm about to drop here at the end. And she writes, "You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves." So love, that is the antidote to any wickedness. Love your body in all its softness and curves. Love your hobbies, no matter how strange they may be. Keep collecting those miniature hand-painted Ted Lasso figurines. Love your creations. Love every Dr. Seussian or tiny little Bob Ross tree. Love your silly stick figure sketches. Love the fact that you will defend pineapple on pizza until the day you die. Love the way that you continuously keep slightly burning the food every time you attempt to cook. Guilty. Your girl needs a chef. Love the things that make you uniquely you. How you pair black and white striped bell bottoms with a sequined silver top and rabbit ears. How you hide poems in chocolate bars and leave notes in library books. How you can uplift a fellow struggling mother in the moment. How you still manage to find circus animals and sea creatures in clouds well into your 30s. How you are not above laughing so hard at an incredibly terrible dad joke that you think you may have just peed yourself a little bit. How you buy flowers and heart chocolates for your divorced friend on their first single Valentine's Day. How you think poop jokes are still funny even as a grown-up. Actually, I think they're even funnier as a grown-up. How you eat cake in the bathtub in a crown. How you support the black-owned business over the big box store. How you stand up for what's right, what's different. How you are someone that does not give up on themselves or their dreams or their healing or their art. How you relentlessly persevere through life no matter how many times his wicked tries to beat you down. How you know you are this beautiful, incredible, soft animal of a human, but sometimes you just need someone to remind you of that. Let me be that person. I want to fill that role. I definitely have a backlog of episodes by now in which I hope you'll find some bit of hope. you'll find those messages in so much of what I share on here of resilience, or that spark an energy to add to your own glowing flame, to remind you what I see and sense in you. Something to turn on, tune in, and absorb, something positive and beautiful, because in the moment, when you're in the throes of grief, depression, anxiety, pain, but no one is there to calm you down or remind you of everything you cannot see, remind you that everything will be okay, that if you can just make it to that next moment, things will change. It's difficult. It's difficult when you can't find that and you can't be that for yourself. It's incredibly difficult to need something in the heat of a moment and feel alone. And it's important to learn how to self-soothe and be this person for yourself by building that compassionate inner voice, but that's not an overnight thing. But it begins by speaking kindly to yourself, speaking kind thoughts, at least trying to talk back to those really mean thoughts. But that also doesn't negate our need for connection. We all have friends and or family, and reaching out is always the first thing that we should do when we need help. But what about those times when your texts get left on read? Or maybe it's in the middle of the night and everyone is asleep. Or what about those of us who can't, won't, or worse, don't know how to ask for help? What of them? The quiet suffering. Sometimes we just need to hear someone else's voice and kind words to remind us of that things get better, that they will get better, that we matter, that all of this matters, that we're beautiful and strong, and this is just one shitty moment in the long movie of an otherwise pretty badass life. A life that, yes, comes packaged with its wicked, its wars, its death. But what is wicked now will not always be. Yes, there will always be something to rally and fight against. I don't know if evil, if wicked, if hate will ever be completely eradicated, but we have to stay focused where it matters. We are both God and human, immortal and mortal, hero and monster. That's the beautiful duality of life that makes it interesting. Without wicked, would we notice the beautiful for what it is? We have both of those things within us, but the magic of being human is we get to choose the story. We get to build and subsequently rewrite and change our own narratives. But right now, the world is overrun with entirely too much wicked, so we have to balance the scales. We have to turn some of this wicked into goodness, hate into love. And that starts with the individual before it can ripple out into the collective. What makes life incredible is this duality. Joy follows sadness. Healing follows pain. Emotions flow. How you feel today isn't necessarily how you'll feel tomorrow. Everything is transient. What is discriminated against today will one day, with time, be finally recognized, accepted, and loved. Ideas and beliefs will shift for the better. Circumstances will change. Hearts will change. Us especially, we can and will change. And what is that, if not a beautiful and miraculous thing? Thanks for sticking around until the very end. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support my one-woman show, please subscribe and share it on social media or leave a rating and review. Those are the best ways to show your love and support for my work and will help this podcast be found more easily, and that in turn helps this whole thing grow. To catch the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Mav Malone. Let's connect. My DMs are always open and I'd love to hear from you. If you want to stay up to date on the latest events, books, podcast episodes, and hear more from me, you can also sign up for my Substack newsletter, Mentally I'm Here, where I share even more magic and completely exclusive content you won't find anywhere else at maverickmalone.substack.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.